28 weeks, as the case might be. It has been a wild journey. But here we are, and the sky is blue, and the sun is shining, and we are gathered together to worship the one who deserves worship, right? And so it's a good thing to know that regardless of whatever's going on and how difficult it gets, we always have hope. And so today we're talking about hope, and one of the things that you may not get this, I mean, this has been a really weird year, and I know that, you know, if you have the DVD or CD or you use Pandora or Spotify or whatever, you know, and you have Alexa in your house and you can say, hey, play worship tunes, and so Alexa's playing the worship songs, and it comes to that one, and you're like, yeah, that's not my favorite. Alexa, skip. And, you know, and it just jumps on to the next one. I know a lot of you have come to 2020 and thinking, Lord, if we could have just got to the end of 19 and said, Lord, skip 2021, you would have done that. Because this has been a difficult year. But let me just tell you something. Perspective is everything. Because if you ask me today, what is the best year I've ever had? If you ask me 5 years ago from now, what is the best year you've ever had? Do you know what year I'm going to tell you? 2020 was the best year ever. Because we had a grandbaby 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, we had a grandbaby. And so it doesn't matter all the other stuff that's happened in this year. It pales in comparison. I met with a young couple this afternoon that's getting married in a few weeks. And you know what? 2020 is going to be the best year of their life because it was the year they got married. And so perspective matters. And knowing that God is working enables us to see the things that God is doing. Because if you miss the things that God is doing, you would just look at this year and say, that was a wash. I just spent 6 months of my life indoors that I will never get back. And then I spent 2 weeks of my life running from smoke and flames that I'll never get back. But today we're talking about hope, and we're going to find that in Romans 8, 18 through 39. And I don't have it printed out, so if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever, that'll be up there for just a little bit so you know where we're going to be. And we're not going to read all of it because we don't have that kind of time. Last night, I was watching a little TV, and I was watching motocross. Now, if you don't know what motocross is, that's where motorcycles are racing on these dirt tracks, right? And I love motocross. I don't watch a lot of motocross, but I love motocross. I grew up, and I had friends when I was a kid that raced in motocross. I never raced in motocross. I would have died. But I like to watch motocross. And so last night, motocross was on, and there is this motocross racer, his name, last name's Osborne. I don't know anything about him because I don't watch that much motocross. He is the best in the world. I mean, so every race you get points based on how many, where you place, right? He has the most points right now in the season. He is the best in the world. Halfway through the race, he wasn't in first, second, or third. He was in about sixth place, fifth place. Halfway through the race, the announcer's like, I think his front tire's coming off. Something's just not quite right. And, you know, if you watch anything on TV, you never watch the guy in fifth, sixth, or eighth place. You're watching the first, second, third place racers, right? The whole rest of the race was focused on this one rider who is now in ninth place. But so far ahead of the rest of the crowd that they're like, what's he going to do? Is he going to pull in and get it changed? He's got to pull in because if it comes off, he could die. And so they're giving all this commentary about this racer. And he goes by the pit stops where he could have pulled in. It's not normal in a motocross race to stop. Now understand that a motocross race has lots of bumps and jumps, ruts, soft spots. It's not a flat, smooth track. And he is going through the race, and he comes up to where he could stop and get a change, and he goes right on past. And the announcer's like, what's he doing? What's he thinking? He needs to get that fixed. And he goes another lap, and he comes back again. And like, surely he will pull in. And nope, he goes right on past again. And his pit crew, they're holding out signs saying, you really should pull in. And he goes, and he keeps riding. He knows that the wheel potentially could come off. Now, if you don't know anything about motorcycles, they only have two, a front and a back. And he just keeps going, and he keeps going. They're like, I don't understand why he keeps. Well, because if he pulls in, then maybe he drops out of the top 20 and he doesn't get any points for this race. But he knows if he finishes the race in the top 20, and he's in ninth right now, if he finishes in the top 20, he will get points that count toward that end of the, you know, he's not going to win this race, but overall he could be the grand champion. And it's worth continuing to race that he would just get some points. He finished the race in 16th place. He got points because he finished. He knew there were dangers. He knew the wheels were coming off. You feel like the wheels are coming off in your life and everything around us right now in our world? Feels like the wheels are coming off. But even when we feel like everything is coming off in our life, to know we just got to finish the race. Because if we finish the race, we will win the prize. Even if it doesn't seem like it's safe. In Romans 8, 18 through 39, verse 18, I don't have it up here, but let me read it to you. Verse 18 says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, the first point tonight is hope is seeking a future that we cannot see. Verse 24, so if you jump down to verse 24, it says this, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. As followers of Jesus, we are looking for a better day when God's kingdom will come. We are waiting and looking and anticipating a better day than the one in which we live. Think about this for a moment. No more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more racism or inequality, no more disasters, no more hate, no more hunger, no more fear, no more smoke. No more. And you wonder why the world in which we live think we're crazy. Because we believe that day is coming. That is our hope. We hope for something that mankind in all of his effort has not been able to provide. That all of our sciences and all of our technology has not been able to provide. We know there's an answer. We know there's better. And it's coming. Finish the race. Second thing, hope is certain God is working in our behalf. And we know, verse 28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I think Andy had my notes when he was preparing the songs, man. It was right on target. We know. So the beginning of verse 28 says, and we know, and when Paul said that, that word that he used there in the Greek, and I don't go into the Greek because who cares about the Greek? Well, okay, we do care about the Greek because there's a lot of meaning in the Greek. Because this word literally means we know in such a way that we physically can see it even though it's not there. That's how much we know this. That even though it's not before us, we can see it. Every part of me can see it. Think about that. It flows from this confidence that we gain from our experience in the journey. That everything that I've been challenged with, everything that I've overcome, everything that I've faced, I've seen God working for my good. Let me just say to our lovely, wonderful senior adults, we need you to remind us often. Your stories of faithfulness and goodness are important to us. Because we have confidence because of our experience. But if we don't have enough experience, then we don't have that much confidence, right? And experience doesn't come apart from life. And so if you ever feel like you don't have value, that's false. That's a lie from Satan. You have value to the kingdom of God, and every young person needs to hear from you. If you've toughed it out in your relationship and your marriage, you need to invest in a young couple that's just getting married. And let them know it's not going to be easy. But if they tough it out, they can finish the race. It says, in all things, God is working for your good. Do you believe that? In all things, social unrest, God is working for your good. Political unrest, God is working for your good. Environmental unrest, financial unrest, emotional unrest, relational unrest. All those things that touches our life that we feel every day, God is working for your good. God is not working for your comfort or your ease. Hear me. Sometimes we think that God is working for our good if it's easy. Or if we're comfortable in it. Don't confuse those two things. Our good and our comfort are not the same. And if you don't believe me, just read a little bit of scripture. Ask Joseph. You know, his brother sold him into slavery. And he had to rescue him later, right? Or Moses, or Abraham, or David, or Paul, who wrote these letters. Who was writing from prison. Who said, I've been shipwrecked, and I've been stoned, and I've been beaten, run out of town, sitting in a cold cell. God is not working for my comfort, and but he is working every day for my good, and I will tell you, he is working for my good and for your good. Third thing. Hope is trusting the power of God. What then shall we say in response to these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the emphasis isn't on who is against us. The emphasis is on God is for us. Now, I want you to see the picture in this passage. This isn't a picture of you and me and God being on our team. I think sometimes we get confused and we think God's on our team. That's a false picture. We are on God's team. And that's important to note. Because if God's on my team, then I can tell God what to do. I'm the team captain. That's not the case. If it's my team, we're in trouble. If it's your team, you're in trouble. It's because we're on God's team that we have hope and confidence. Because you see, he's the team owner. He's the coach, the player coach. He's the commissioner. He's the manager. He's the agent. He has all the important roles. He's doing the hard work. He's on the field with us, playing with us. We don't need to worry about whether or not we will win. Spoiler alert. We've already won. Sorry, I gave you the end of the book. We've already won. It's already been done. But today we focus on how we play. Do we play half-hearted? Half-engaged? Or are we all in? We're all in. You know, an interesting thing happened. It started, I think, actually back in the 70s, 80s. All football players have to wear pads and helmets. They were doing that a long time, you know. If you remember before the 60s and the 70s, they had like leather helmets. They weren't much, but they covered a little bit of the noggin. But now they have these helmets that are impact resistant, and they have all these things in it. I mean, it's more technology than it is padding. And if you're the quarterback, not only do you have all the technology, but you also have a speaker that you can hear from the coach any time. Well, there's some rules about that. But they could potentially hear any time. Saying, here's the next play I want you to run. Oh, this is what we saw upstairs. You need to look at this. Watch this. See this. Always speaking into the quarterback's ear. What's next? You know, verse 26 in this passage says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. Who's speaking into your ear? We have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, that intercedes all the time in our life, giving us the very words to say. Tell us, hey, don't run that play. This is not a good time. Stay a little bit longer. Okay, now you can go. Go now. Go now. Because we believe God is working for our good. And so he's speaking to us. And then every player has an agent. You know the importance of an agent. An agent represents a player with the ownership, with the management, and says, look, this is my player. He's amazing. She's amazing. You need to pay them more money. Just saying. Because they're awesome. And they're like, no, I've seen the video. They're just average. No, they're great. That's what an agent does. And according to Scripture, we have an agent. His name is Jesus. Verse 34, it says this. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Friends, we have every reason to be hopeful. Because we have Jesus that is our agent, interceding before the Father, saying, look, they're covered by my blood. I know they look rough on the outside, but I've changed their hearts. And God sees them, sees you through him. And all of our flaws and all those blemishes and all those shortcomings are covered by the blood of Christ. And Jesus says, look, do you see them? Do you see my servant there? Worth every drop. Worth every drop. And so we have the Spirit that dwells in us, that intercedes for us. We have Jesus who died for us, who intercedes for us. And we have a Father who is working for our good every day. That's the trifecta right there. Right? That's the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right there on our behalf. Not because they're on our team, but because we're on his team. We're with him. Finish the race. Our last slide, verse 38, says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do we need to be afraid of? What do we need to be fearful of? What do we need to have anxiety about? Nothing. Nothing. We remind ourselves that our residency is not here. We know we could lose our homes in a blink of an eye. This week reminded us of that, and many did. But our residency is not here. We're just passing through this place. We have an eternal residency. And I don't need to fear. And if you've had fear, if you've had anxiety, let me encourage you today. I want you to know the hope that Jesus offers you. I want you to know the hope that comes from a Holy Spirit that will indwell you when you receive him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know the hope that comes from a Father who is working together all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's you and me. That he is working in our behalf. Not making it easy, not making it comfortable, but he will change you and he will change me. You and I, we have every reason, if you know Jesus, to have hope in 2020. And when there's so much despair around and so much anxiety around, for the people of God to provide reassurance and comfort, because our eternity is not shaken. Our future is not in question. Our residency is not here. And so we need to finish the race. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this evening and this opportunity just to be here to worship together with this body, to be a part of this body. Lord, I pray that you would remind us every day of the work that you're doing that we don't see. And so we hope for a better day. We hope for your return. But we will live as more than conquerors in this place. We will live as those who are victorious because you have given us the victory. Because you are victorious. You have overcome death and the grave. That anyone who will give their life to you and accept you as their Savior today, you will give them new life and new hope. Thank you for encouraging us. In Jesus' name.